Well, we move now to our Bible readings. We have two Bible readings today. The first one is found in Isaiah chapter 40. I'll be reading verses 6 to 11. It's found on page 1028 if you have a church Bible with you. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 6. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, 'Here is your God.' See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." Well, please turn over with me to 1 Peter that Andrew is going to be speaking from. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It's on page 1729 if you've got a church Bible. And so far in 1 Peter, he's been telling us to look to the future that God has promised us. And if we look to the future, it will actually help us to live today. In the passages that we're looking at over the next 2 weeks, Peter wants us to appreciate the relationship with God that we have now through Jesus. And understanding what we have now will help us to live for him today. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22, sorry, it's 1728 on the Church Bible. Chapter 1, verse 22, reading through to chapter 2, verse 3. "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Amen. Well, Andrew is going to come and unpack that for us now. Thanks, Andrew.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Please do open up your Bibles or keep them open to that passage that we just read from 1 Peter. It'll be really helpful if you've got it in front of you as we think through what we've just read. We'll pray, we'll ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please work in us now to have responsive hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the great privileges that we have now as Christians is that we get to be part of a loving community, a community where we are remembered and accepted and nurtured. If nothing else, isolation has reminded us of how much we need loving community in order to thrive as people. On the other hand, if you talk to those who have walked away from Christianity, too often their story is that they found themselves in a community that claimed to be about love, but was overrun with hypocrisy and envy and slander. Sincere love demonstrates the beauty of God our Saviour. Pretend love is a barrier to faith. And so how can we be a community who loves sincerely? How can we be more than just a place of Christian niceness and be a community of genuine love? Well, in the passage that we just read from 1 Peter, there are two commands, lots of other things as well, but in the original language, that there are two words that are instruction words. Instruction number one is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, and it's love one another deeply. Instruction number two is in chapter 2, verse 2, and it is crave pure spiritual milk. And as we go through this, we'll see that pure spiritual milk is a way of describing God's word. Now, these two instructions are connected at the start of chapter 2 with the word therefore. And so our passage today tells us, love one another deeply, therefore crave pure spiritual milk. And today we're going to try and understand why Peter connects these two things. We want to understand this so that we can grow in sincere love. There's two points I'm going to make this morning, and the first is this. Understand where your love came from in the first place. Look with me at verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. So you notice here that he's saying you actually have sincere love. He's thinking back to that time when we obeyed the truth. That is when we said yes to the gospel of Jesus and we were purified. That is, we were washed clean by his Holy Spirit. Peter's saying ever since then, you have sincere love. Now, when he talks about love in this passage, he's talking about love for each other. That is, love for other Christians. And yes, we know that there's other parts of the Bible where it talks about other kinds of love, that we should love even our enemies. But in this passage, he's particularly talking about love in the Christian community. And isn't that true for you? That when you said yes to Jesus as Lord, didn't God also give you some desire to join with Christians? Presumably he did, because you're listening to me now. Something brought you here. And so when Peter says, love one another deeply from the heart, he's asking us to exercise the love that God's put into us. It's a bit like, say, a football team. Someone new joins the team and the coach says, you are now a footballer, so go and football. He's not asking a pastry chef to go and football. He's asking people who have love to love each other. Okay, but where did this love come from? How did we get it? Well, answer is in verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. He's saying when we respond to the message of Jesus, part of what God does in us is that he plants a seed of love. We're born again. We begin a new life with God as our Father. And just like we all inherit personality traits from our human fathers, so when we come to trust in Jesus, we begin to be people who have God's love as part of our nature. We begin to have love for brothers and sisters who now share the same Father. A long time ago, Bruce Springsteen sang, "Baby, I was born to run." Well, we Christians can sing, "Baby, I was born to love." But still, how? We're asking the how question this morning. How did this happen? Well, it says it here. You have been born again, verse 23, through the living and enduring word of God. So if I can put this verse into a cause and effect order. Born again goes together with God's word doing its work. And the result is that we obey the truth of the gospel and we find that we have love for each other. So born again is what God does. And the word is his instrument. Imagine for a moment, I hammer a nail into this pulpit. The nail goes into the wood because I'm using the hammer as an instrument to drive in the nail. This is saying that we are born again because God uses his word as an instrument to bring new life out of spiritual death, to create love out of selfishness. His word is powerful. His word changes us. Does that make sense? Now, what about verse 23? It talks about perishable and imperishable. Well, if we have two births, that is, there's the birth of my body. That's a perishable birth. This body that my mother gave birth to will one day perish and die. But this new spiritual life that I've received as God became my Father, as his work did its work in me, this is a life which will last forever. It's imperishable. The Bible verse that Peter quotes says that perishable human flesh is like grass and flowers. Flowers are beautiful for a few days, but then they perish. Now, in context, it's not just talking about life in general. It's particularly talking about a life of love. Of course, it is possible to love if you're not yet a Christian. We're not the only ones who know about love. You'll find plenty of people in Reservoir, parents who love their kids, husbands that love their wives, friends that love each other. This is natural human love. Natural human love can be glorious, but in the end, it will fade like the flowers. Whereas the love in the Christian community's love for one another, will last into eternity. Because what's God doing as he brings people new life by his word? As he draws us to one another, what's he doing? He's creating a community of love which will last forever. Hey, before I move on to the second point, we should be clear about what Peter means in verse 25 when he talks about the word of the Lord. Because he's not saying that we have to listen for some kind of word from God, from the clouds, or some voice from God inside of us. He says, verse 25, "This is the word that was preached to you." He's picking up on what we looked at a couple of weeks back. Do you remember when Dean took us through verses 10 to 12? How it's the message of the prophets fulfilled by Jesus? And so when he talks about the word of the Lord, yes, he means the Bible, Old and New Testament, but not just any use of the Bible. Because actually, People can pull all sorts of funny ideas out of the Bible if they want to. Now, people can misuse the Bible so that what they preach won't actually save anyone or teach people to love. So just be aware as you access different stuff online at the moment that there's some great stuff out there. There are also some preachers who will take verses from the Bible, but they're not teaching the message of the Bible. When Peter talks here about the word of the Lord, he's talking about the Bible as it was preached by those first apostles. That is, the whole Bible understood in a way that's centered on the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Peter's talking about the written word taught in a way that leads us to Christ, the living word. That's the word that gave us new life. Okay, with me so far? Let's move on to the second point, which is that, okay, if that's where your love for each other came from in the first place, then grow in love by craving more of the same. Because remember I said that the instruction at the start of chapter 2 is crave. I know verse, you might be reading verse 1 and it says, rid yourselves. That sounds like an instruction, but literally in the first language that Peter was writing in, literally it's as you rid yourselves. It's assuming that we're doing this. Of course you're ridding yourselves of malice and deceit and all that stuff, because that's all the stuff that gets in the way of love. Malice, that's when you wish something bad will happen to someone. Where, of course, love is about wanting the best for someone. Deceit is about hiding the truth. Love is about speaking it. Hypocrisy is when you put on a fake face, but real love is sincere. Envy is when you get all jealous because someone else is getting ahead of you, but love says, no, you go, that's great, I'm happy for you. Slander is when you drag people down with your words, but love is all about building them up. Did you notice that these are all things that we Christians need to get rid of? He doesn't say, oh, now that you've been born again, you don't have to worry about malice and deceit and slander. No, we have sincere love, but it has competition. At the same time, we love and we envy. At the same time, we love others, but we have this self-interest which can make us resent others and see them as a threat. So that's the complex reality, both of these things at the same time. Sometimes we can look like a suitcase of porcupines. And so get rid of these things that work against love, but how? Remember, we're asking the how question, and Peter's answer, by craving something better. The Scottish minister, Thomas Chalmers, he once said, the only way to dispossess the human heart of an old affection is by the expulsive power of a new affection. What he means is that we don't get rid of sinful desires just by trying really hard to stop those desires. What we need is to replace those desires with something else. For example, if I say to you people at home, do not desire ice cream. Do not desire a bowl of ice cream with salted caramel topping and a wafer sticking into it. Stop it. Rid yourself of that desire. Don't even think of opening up the freezer. If that's all I say, that's really not very helpful, is it? But if I say, hang in there, the freezer's still going to be where it is at the end of the service. Hang in there, stay in your seat. Don't leave the room, because what I'm about to share is something that's going to be really useful for you. It's going to be really useful for your Christian growth. It's going to be something of much more eternal value than ice cream. Well, then I've given you something better to desire, and hopefully I haven't just lost half our congregation. Anyway, what is this new affection? This replacement craving? Well, verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Some English Bible versions translate this as the milk of the word. So just like a newborn baby needs milk, well, if we are born again to new life, if we've been born again by God's word, we need the milk of the word. Just as God's word gave us eternal love in the first place, so God's word is what will grow our love and what will push out those things that get in the way of love. If you just use human effort to try a bit harder not to harm people, you might be able to do that. You might succeed for a while, but in the end, your love will be like the flowers in the vase. But if you want to grow in sincere, enduring love, then get into God's word and let God's word take you to Christ. That's why in our church, the word of God is a priority. That's why the Bible is a focus in this live stream. That's why we have small groups that study and discuss God's word, because the word of God humbles us. The word of God points us to Jesus and his death and his resurrection and reveals to us God's love and his holiness and his glory. And that's what drives us and changes us to be people of love. Studying God's word is not the only thing we do, because love needs to be expressed practically, doesn't it? But God's word is the thing which gives energy to every other endeavor. Has anyone seen a breastfeeding baby recently? When that baby wants milk, do they want it just a little bit? Ah, yeah, milk. Or are they desperate for it? For a newborn baby, when it's time to feed, there is nothing else in the world that matters as much as milk. And Peter's saying that's how we should crave the word of God. Can Peter do that? Can Peter just tell us to crave something? Is that how, or do cravings just come and go as they please? Well, actually, you can choose to desire something. Because, okay, how does someone develop a craving for coffee? By regularly drinking coffee. How does someone develop a craving for exercise? Not by sitting on the couch, but by regularly exercising. And so you can develop a craving for God's pure spiritual milk. In fact, if what I'm saying to you now is having any of its intended effect, then actually at this very moment, you are tasting God's word and you're beginning to crave more of a life of drinking from God's word. And so that's the take-home message for today. If we want to grow as a community of love, then we must crave God's word, because God changes us by his word. Although let me just flesh this out practically with three life takeaways. The first one is, as you seek to drink from God's word, aim not necessarily for more, but to be regular. So you might hear what I'm saying and think, okay, the message is I have to read my Bible more. Well, it depends. If you don't read your Bible at all, then more would be a good start. But I remember when I was a younger Christian and I'd go on a youth camp and I'd come home all fired up about the Bible and I'd think, okay, every day I'm gonna read chapters from the New Testament and the Old Testament. I'm gonna journal and I'm gonna read commentaries, and it would last a couple of weeks and school would go back and things would get busy and I'd just sort of run out of puff and it would drop to somewhere near zero again. So think about this example of a baby who craves milk. There's only so much a baby can drink in one go. So we don't have to have longer and longer sermons, 3-hour group Bible studies, all day podcast sessions in order to grow. Just simply taking in more doesn't necessarily accelerate spiritual growth. What does a baby need? A baby needs to feed regularly. And over time, the baby grows. So I think I've learnt that craving God's word doesn't mean that I have to kind of live in exam cramming mode. No, just be regular. Have something from God's word to think about and talk about each day. And over time, God will grow us. Second life takeaway. Aim to grow in love as you learn. See, there is a danger in getting more Bible knowledge, because knowledge puffs up, whereas love builds up. And so just getting more knowledge can make us proud. So let's not let Bible study be done just as information gathering. Let's come to every part of the Bible asking, okay, how does this lead me to Christ and through Christ teach me to love God with all my heart, mind, and soul, and to love my neighbor as myself? Last but not least, aim to learn God's word not as a chore, but as a joy. Some of you are book people. You read novels for fun. There's others who, if you read books, then it's only because you have to. You've got a test to pass or something like that. Now, let me tell you, if you're in the second group, don't let that put you off. You don't have to be a book nerd to grow as a Christian. Maybe you can find someone else to read with and talk with. Maybe you can listen to audio Bibles. For most of the history of Christianity, people heard the Bible read. And realize what the Bible is. It's spiritual milk. It's good for us. It comes from our Lord who is good. If I gave you a book of letters written by Emperor Napoleon to his lover Josephine, and I said, why don't you read this? Well, you might have a look at it. You might find it mildly interesting. But if your lover wrote you a letter, you would read every word over and over again, and you would enjoy it. Friend, if you know Jesus, you've tasted that the Lord is good. And if he's good, then so is his word. This is the word of someone who loves you. The word of someone who gave his son for you, who has welcomed you as his child, and who is creating a community of love that will last forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we admit that we don't have the strength to change ourselves in a way that lasts. But we thank you that your word is powerful, that you work in us, that you build us up with your truth, that you teach us to love. Father, please enable us to be a community of sincere love. Sincere love. Teach us to know this truth and to know this truth in a way which moves us to act with practical care and compassion, and which moves us to thank and honor and praise your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.